You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. That was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, getting ready for training camp. The theme, words into action. And I think last year there was a lot of talk about this team, and Mike Pettine saying, no more talking. Words into action. I think that was a statement that resonates with veterans, and I think also resonates with a lot of the young guys who did a lot of the talking last season for this Browns team.
Absolutely. And as we, you know, talked prior to Mike Pettine's presser, we were mentioning, you know, what would be the message? What's the resounding theme of this year's team, this year's training camp? And in some cases, as I've mentioned multiple times, the expectation. The expectation is don't tell me, show me. And that's what we should see out of – that's what we will see out of the veterans that have been through multiple camps or with multiple teams that have come here and that the Browns have spent a lot of money on. Yeah. Show us your value to us as the Cleveland Browns organization. But for the young players that we've gone all in on, Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel, Cam Irving, Danny Shelton, Nate Orchard, Barkevious Mingo, those are the guys. Some of them have done talking. Some of them have not. But it's time for all of them to show us why they deserved – to be selected as high as they did by the Browns.
I like it. Show us. So let's go ahead and give us the top five things to watch in training camp. Matt, we'll start with you.
Do you want all five or one at a time?
I think Casey, are you counting these down?
Here yes, I am.
You are?
All right.
Okay.
Number one.
My number one thing to watch at training camp is the quarterbacks. We will live and die by the play of our quarterback, and everybody knows for the longest time here in Cleveland, getting that quarterback situation level and under control and consistent has been the biggest problem. After what I saw in OTAs and training camp, I think we have that guy, but the pads are on. The lights will soon be on for him to show us. So I'll be watching our quarterback situation, specifically Josh McCown. As I see it, he's the guy that will lead us into battle.
All right, first thing I'm going to keep my eye on is how last year's first rounders look to me. Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert. Is there any way that Justin Gilbert is going to play himself into this lineup and play himself into a meaningful contributor? And I just want to see Johnny Manziel continue to make progress as an NFL quarterback. So I'm going to keep my eye on both of those two guys.
Number two.
Second thing I will be looking out for is the quarterback. The competition at running back. What role will these players have? And we stated that yesterday with Isaiah Crowell being the bell cow, 200-plus carries,
yep,
and being the guy, Terrence West being the changeup back or the spell back, giving Isaiah Crowell the break, and the role of Duke Johnson in this offense. We think we know what that is. We will find out of training camp.
The number two thing I'm looking forward to seeing is, can someone step up as that other pass rusher opposite Paul Kruger? And I'm looking solely at Barkevious Mingo, Scott Solomon, and of course this year's second-round pick, Nate Orchard. One of those guys needs to emerge as that passing down specialist that can rush the passer opposite Kruger. Obviously, you want it to be Mingo, who you drafted sixth overall, or you want it to be Orchard, who you drafted in the second round this year. Solomon's there as well. But you need somebody else on the edge to get to the quarterback in addition to Paul Kruger.
Number three.
I wrote this down, and number three thing that I'm watching is the outside linebacker group for the Cleveland Browns. As you mentioned, I expect Paul Kruger, as we had him on the show, talk about evolving as a linebacker. That includes his role dropping, which will only, I think, help him because he's not going to be rushing every time. He'll have a little bit of break, but also to confuse that tackle in certain looks so that when he does rush, he's more efficient. So he's going to be our double-digit sack guy. I would love to think we're going to get five sacks from the other three guys. That would be the ideal situation. But in the best-case scenario, the emergence of one of those other three, Nate Orchard, Scott Solomon, or Barkevious Mingo, to be an eight-plus sack guy to have that true dual threat, and that is something that I'll be paying very much attention to.
I'm going to be looking at the tight ends. Jordan Cameron's a Pro Bowler here. He's gone. Rob Housler has shown flashes of being that vertical threat down the seam for this team. I want to see Gary Barnes, Jim Drake continue what they've done. But also the guy that's kind of causing a lot of waves, E.J. Bibbs. He's gotten a lot of hype this offseason. Want to see how he fits in as well. So I'm going to keep an eye on that tight end group because I think you're going to need Rob Housler to be a solid pass catcher for this team to be as effective on offense as we all want them to be.
Number four.
Number four for me is the wide receiver position. I went with number one at quarterback, but we've stabilized the quarterback, I believe, with Josh McCown, and he has better weapons than Brian Hoyer had last year. The addition of Dwayne Brough, Brian Hartline, you get Andrew Hawkins, who can now play all three spots, but back at the spot that he'll probably be most successful at that number three wide receiver, working across the middle, the emergence of Taylor Gabriel and how he's grown as a football player after a great rookie year as an undrafted free agent, and what he'll be able to do in year two, and I think which will be picking up right where he left off. Big chunk plays, get the ball in his hand, be able to stretch the defense out, and the emergence of Vince Maley. What role will he have as a fifth wide receiver? If these guys can make plays for Josh McCown, who will deliver the ball accurately, I think we're sitting pretty.
Yeah, I'll piggyback with you on the wide receivers. What does Dwayne Brough have left in the tank? What does Brian Hartline have left in the tank? Does Taylor Gabriel's amazing offseason continue once the pads are on? Can he still be that threat? Get a look at Vince Maley, who was, to my eye, looked very good in this rookie camp. He is a physical specimen, and he's very good, very good. Yes, Judge Smales checking in there on Vince Maley. And then, you know, one of the most interesting battles on this whole roster is who makes it as that sixth wide receiver. Marlon Moore for special teams. What does Travis Benjamin make it for special teams as the punt returner? Has he returned to form? Do they keep seven receivers and keep, you know, two of those guys? What about Rodney Smith at 6'5", had a nice offseason? And then, of course, the wild card, Terrell Pryor. What do you have in Terrell Pryor? What will he bring to the table? What can you expect from him? That's going to be very interesting to watch.
Number five,
my last and final thing that I'll be watching is, and I'll call it the Danny Shelton factor. This guy was selected 12th overall for a reason. He was linked to the Cleveland Browns most of the offseason prior to the draft for a reason. Was because we ranked 32nd against the run, and we went out and got the biggest, baddest, most active nose tackle in the entire draft class. And if he can play that role, and why I'm really looking at this is because we get to see a little speckling of him here in minicamp, but we're going to get the pads on. And this team is dedicated towards being one of the greatest football teams in out of the 32 and running the football. If he can control Alex Mack and our offensive line in practice, we're, again, going to be very well off once the season actually starts.
So I'm going to take it a step further and just say the entire defensive line. So I want to see what Shelton brings to the table. Randy Starks is here. Now you have Dez Bryant. Then you got Xavier Cooper you drafted in the third round. John Hughes, Phil Taylor, Billy Wynn, who was just with us, Ismaili Kitchen, Armani Bryant. How are they going to figure those reps out? How are they going to figure out who makes this team? How many linemen can a 3-4 defense actually keep?
Yeah.
That is going to be who stays, who goes, are there any trades, what does Ray Farmer and company do with this defensive line is going to be absolutely fascinating to me, and we'll be very, very curious to see how that all plays out. I do want to see Shelton. Can he be that monster that we all hope he can be? Can somebody emerge from this defensive line? Because you have Shelton now, does that free up Dez Bryant to pass rush more effectively, Randy Starks to get to the quarterback more effectively, because we've been told that's what he really does excel at?
No, you're right. And I just thought it's the one thing I'll have my eye on is with Alex Mack being the number one center in all of football and being able to handle the best nose tackles across the league, does Danny Shelton draw more attention than one player? Because if Alex Mack can handle him one-on-one, that means other centers in the National Football League can control him one-on-one. If he draws a double team or help in some situations, it plays off of into everything that you just talked about. Dez Bryant be able to have that one-on-one situation. No one would be able to help on Paul Kruger because you're getting that penetration right up the middle. And last time I checked, the fastest way to get from one place to another is a straight line, and that's Danny Shelton right up the middle.
Lots of intriguing storylines. We just laid out 10 of them. You talked about the bag. Does Crow end up being the primary ball carrier? The battle with on the offensive line, does Cam Irving end up starting? What happens in the secondary with these corners? Does Dazier make a push? Does K-1 solidify his spot? Does Justin Gilbert make a push?
Yeah.
Who ends up getting the majority of the reps next to Carlos Dansby? You've got really two starters in Craig Robertson and Christian Kirksey. What happens there? There are a lot of intriguing things in this camp, and I'm excited to get it going tomorrow here. Now, we talked defense. We got into the defensive line a little bit. We're going to continue our previews. We're going to look at the D-line when we come back and lay out who we think makes their way onto the 53-man roster. And also, we are going to go ahead and open up the mailbag. Use the hashtag mailbag. Tweet us right now at Nathan Zagura, at MattWilhelm35, at Browns_daily, and we will get those questions answered for you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.